June the 20th, 1978. Tomorrow is the, I guess, the longest day in the year, about that time anyhow, tomorrow or next day. And then the sun will start swinging back again. And we can soon have blizzards again. That'll be nice. We've missed them now for a while. And like the fellow in the cartoon in the paper, he's going to have a little respite now from fuel bills, but about 3 months to start over again. Well, we took up a little something last week and went through it that I didn't give you any real preparation for. I kind of think it's a good idea to get a little more background on it. And that was what we had in the midst of 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul was speaking about the Passover. Now, let's don't turn to that now. Let's turn to something else first and get the story. So let's start in with John 13. John 13, 1. I think a lot of people have sort of a hazy idea of the history of the betrayal, the last Passover and the betrayal and so on. I thought maybe it'd be a good idea to get the background of this 1 Corinthians and then do it again, actually. Get all the background on it. Which means we're going to have to step along because we've got quite a little bit of scripture here. See, I said John 13, 1. Just to give you a hint of what is happening, John doesn't give us a Passover. He doesn't give us that last Passover goal. John omits it. That a lot of people think that John tells it. And has the washing of feet with it and so on. Well, the washing of feet didn't go with the Passover. It was 2 days before. Now, just briefly speaking, in John's Gospel, we have a feast at the house of Simon the Leper in Bethany on Sunday night. And Judas gets in a huff and leaves before the supper is over and goes and makes a bargain with the chief priests and so on about betraying the Lord. Well, that's in John's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them, give the last Passover. They also speak of the feast in the house of Simon the Leper, and then the Passover, and how in those 2 days that they were conspiring along with Judas for the betrayal. And then finally the Passover itself, and the going out to the garden and the arrest. Now, if you keep that in mind, maybe we can see what's going on here. Now, before the feast of the Passover, before, you see, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, now we just have to correct that. Supper having been laid, the washing of feet has to come before you eat. And you're noting your companion Bible, did you? The answer to that. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper. They just got to sit down and feet weren't placed, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. In other words, took on the form of a slave. That's where he humbled himself. This is a picture. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter goes to extremes. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Judas got his heat voice too, remember that. But it didn't make him clean every bit. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, resumed his glory now, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye do well, say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. My, how we'd like to stop along the line and examine a lot of these, but we have another purpose in view. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Quoting from the Psalms, as Ahithophel that ate bread from David's table and lifted his heel against him. Now I tell you before he come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth we, and he that receiveth me, and him that receiveth me, and I get all tangled up here, start that verse again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now we got it. When Jesus had said, thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now here's the first hint. And this, remember, is 2 days before the actual betrayal. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Of course, that's the writer of this epistle. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which you have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Remember that if this had been the Passover, as many claim, there was no place that Judas could have gone out and bought anything for the feast. That was already should have been prepared for beforehand if this was a feast. Weren't any shops open that night? That was a holiday. See, I had to think when you read, don't you? For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said to him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. They give you a shiver. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now there we have John's story of a supper that was 2 days before the Passover. And it comes into Judas' mind that night, and Satan also enters into him to betray the Lord. And he went out before the feast was over, and it was night. Now let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 6. Matthew 26, 6. Now, just before this, the verses, the here before, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders gotten together and they're trying to figure out some way to take Jesus and kill him. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Just the disciples in this instance. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And Jesus understood it. He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have all the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. They're angry. Now this is what John is here telling us about. Satan entered into him, so he went to the chief priests. Remember that anger and Satan taking over are very, very closely related. And Ephesians were warned about that, about anger and then not to give place to the devil. And can you be angry and sin not? All such things as that. Anger is one of the most devastating things that can happen to a person. It's a method of self-destruction, of poisoning. Because, like fear, it generates poison in the system. You'll get an overdose of formic acid for one thing. And of course, it overacts with the adrenaline when you don't need it. And that isn't good for you when you don't need it. So, anger is a terrible thing. A lot of people seem to have their share of it. Well, he went to the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver, just about the price of a slave at that time. And that was a pretty good price. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And it only took him a couple of days, two or three days. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, that'd be on Tuesday then, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, now he didn't say a Lord's Supper here. He didn't say the Eucharist. Or he didn't say communion. He says the Passover. A lot of people get funny ideas. He said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, Tuesday evening, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now he had told them that once before, a couple of nights before, or three, whichever it happens to be, for there's a couple of those feasts. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. He's telling the whole bunch now, he isn't just letting John know. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. Yep. Judas, you said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Nothing about Judas going out here, you see. He sticks with them right to the end, eats the whole Passover. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. All of you drink of it, or do you mean you drink all of the cup? And of course, how can you drink the cup? Those are the things we have to watch. These figures of speech, you know. Somebody's asked a question about the contents of the cup represented his blood. Well, was the cup his blood too? Well, it's good to ask questions like that. Sometimes help to get on an even keel. For this is my blood, represents my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, did you ever hear a metaphor? Well, that's what this is. Now, if it had been a simile, this would say, then this is like my blood. Here it says, this is my blood. The difference between metaphor and simile. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, the millennial kingdom. This was the last time. And when they had sung a hymn, that's the Hallel, that finishes the Passover, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, at this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. Didn't know what he was saying exactly. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. What were their names? James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves. I remember, this is the temple guard. There's no Roman soldiers here. This is the Jews doing. The Romans don't know anything about this yet. From the chief priests and elders of the people, see? Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now we notice in the beginning of this one, when they had that supper in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, that it was poured on his head. Keep that in mind. All right, now let's go to Mark 14. And begin with verse 1. Now we do have something definite here. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. So it starts off to see what 2 days before. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how that they might take him by craft and put him to death. And of course, it's during this time that Judas bargained with them, just 2 days. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a sparkling eye, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Same thing, isn't it? 2 days before the Passover. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Now, evidently, this is the time in the house of Simon the leper we have in John's Gospel and tells us about Judas leaving in the midst of the supper. But John doesn't tell you all about all the things that happened because his story was with a different idea in mind than the rest of them. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. My, sounds like a lot of money. And have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now, it's quite likely that about a night before that Judas had been the first one to criticize because of the wasting of something. And it has even got into the minds of the other disciples. And so they're finding fault too. See how one person can start something? And so they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whenever ye will, ye may do for them good. But ye have not me always. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. And how true that was. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray him unto them. Now in this feast, you see, he left. Went to the chief priest, and as John tells us, he left in the midst of the feast, and it was night. And when they heard it, that is, the chief priest heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, I don't know how they killed the Passover. There's another figure of speech, isn't it? Stands for the lamb. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sent us forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall ye meet, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Tells you a little more detail what you had in the other account. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? Is it me? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as is written of him, but woe to him, woe to that man, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good word for that man that he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, has to do with Israel, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. See, where did I go to here? Oh yes, I got a little way to go yet. And when they had sung a hymn, that's the Hallel again, the end of their Passover feast, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although ye all should be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, as the other one before it crowed at all, thou shalt deny me thrice. And I think if you'll follow very closely, you'll find that Peter did deny six times.
Beforehand, when he was telling them, you know, I think the first year where it says, people were wanting to be friends, he's been showing signs of his mouth, and did he know that he's only coming for them?
He'd been telling them, yes.
Did they understand that
they couldn't believe it?
Because he doesn't know anything to do with your life.
They just, no, they just couldn't get it in their minds that this was going to happen. It was something of a dream. Well, how could anything happen if this was their Messiah? You know, they hadn't seen the suffering Messiah, did they? That's the reason why he told them that he couldn't. There were many things they couldn't take now if the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would tell them afterwards. But he spake the more vehemently, that is, Peter, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which is called named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. The hour might pass from him. This hour. Not the hour in the next day. This hour. So this was a terrible hour for him. Came mighty near dying right out there in Gethsemane. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same word. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed under the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude of swords and staves, from the chief priests and scribes and elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Now I want you to notice here that he left during the middle of the feast, 2 days before the Passover. He ate the Passover and evidently went out with them to Gethsemane. Now the Lord spent some time here praying. There was time for all these things, and Judas could have sneaked away from the rest of them, and they're sleeping and so on. He could have sneaked away and gone to the temple and gotten these folks and come out here in the meantime. And no doubt that's just exactly what happened. That'll help you get the sequence. Now we have one more account, and that is in Luke. So let's turn to Luke 22. So far, they've been agreeing pretty well. Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. And of course, we know when that happened. It was in the midst of that feast on Sunday night. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. They weren't going to do this when people are around. Then came the day of unleavened bread, Tuesday, when a Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us a Passover that we may eat. Tell us who he sent in this case. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover of my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover, the Lord's Supper. Well, that's the way a lot of people read it. They don't see that word Passover at all. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover of you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Millennial kingdom. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, This is my blood which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper. Remember, there were four of those cups during the Passover meeting. And so after they'd eaten their meal, their feast, then they cup again. This cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. A little more explanation. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with thee on the table. Somebody had his hand on the table. Not his elbow. That isn't good manners. Unless you're tired. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they must exercise authority upon them, or call benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Or whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat as he that serveth, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, and I am among you as he that serveth? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, listen to that. Why, Peter had never been converted yet, had he? And again, you see, some of our traditions, ideas, and so on. But Peter, when you've changed your mind and gotten settled down, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter did. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. Notice, not crow. Before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Oh, good to have a sword then. And I didn't mean the Bible there, I don't think either. We sometimes call it our sword, you know. For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, It's enough. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground, for he didn't sweat blood. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what should follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye this far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and Caiaphas of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Do ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Now we don't need to go any further there. Are you getting the picture, the background of all of this? The story? Now we didn't read the other one where his feet were washed with tears, so on, and also the ointment. And that's where Judas himself made these. And that probably was on Saturday night, right after the end of the Jewish Sabbath. But we didn't take that one in. Now let's turn just for a moment over to 1 Corinthians 11. Our time is just about up. I knew I'd have to hurry to get through this. Now that section in 1 Corinthians 11, which we took up especially last week, was from verse 23 through 32. And he starts out, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink of it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, till he come. Now we who are in the church with the body of Christ are not looking for the Lord's coming, so this just doesn't fit in the picture. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And these Jews were under law. And there would be. Remember, we had proven that chapters 10 and 11 were to the Jews. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning or acknowledging the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, they partake of the Passover unworthily. Some get weak, some get sick, and some die. For if we would judge ourselves before we take of this Passover, we should not be judged. Get sick and weakly and die. But when ye are judged, ye are chastised of the Lord, that ye should not be condemned with the world. Notice the purpose of that. It's chastisement that they become weak and sickly, and some die. Now, you got a question? I've covered a lot of ground here in a little bit. Well, I think we will close the book on this one. Our time is up for this section. I don't know where it went to. Now we are working on Psalm 119. And I rather think that tonight we can finish it. We got down to verse 153. Psalm 119, verse 153. I took my pencil and made three red checks in this section here, 153 to 160. The word quicken occurs three times, and that kind of took my eye. And the situation under which it is used in each time. Well, he starts out, consider mine affliction. Yes, the Lord considers to look upon his affliction. Remember that David did not have a peaceful life. He might have had joy, but David wasn't happy a great deal of the time. You see, the chickens had come home to roost, for one thing. And also, he was a sort of a foreshadowing of the suffering Messiah. He mentions here once that that they'd hate him without a cause. And has spoken to the Lord that they hated him without a cause. I think some of them had cause to hate David, but not all of them. Really, Saul had no occasion, no real reason to hate David, except just jealousy. I don't know. And a bunch of women are blamed for that, really, to start it all. Oh, do you remember the story? How they sang the praises of David and they sang the praises of Saul, that they had more for David than they had for Saul. And that little green monster started causing Saul trouble. Consider mine affliction. Well, if we will live godly, we will need suffer persecution. I think of the year that David was hunted like a wild beast by Saul and his army out among the hills of the Philistines, especially in the caves, and so on. Like a big hunt was on, like some wild beast. And then when you read the story, you see how David had, on two different occasions, had taken advantage and killed Saul, who was trying to kill him. He didn't do it. He considered Saul as God's anointed. David was very careful in that respect. Consider mine affliction and deliver me. Rescue me. Whatever you want. Put on that. Says in the notes, the word has the idea of rescuing with a gentle hand. That is, like rescuing a little lamb, you know. For I do not forget thy law. Now that's one thing David claims all the way through. He's not forgetting God's word. Plead my cause and deliver me. There again is that word deliver. A little different idea here than any other, probably a little stronger word. Quicken me according to thy word. You have here in this couple of verses here, 154 and 155, a first mention of a mediator, and you find a little way down the word redemption. David is, for the first time, seemingly recognizing the Jehovah as his Redeemer, and meaning upon him as such. Now, it has been suggested that maybe David might have saved himself some trouble if he'd done that a little sooner. No, I'm not in any place to criticize on that. I don't know. I don't know why it comes in if it hadn't before. I wouldn't guess. But this word quickens, it reminds me of our own privileges we have, because this word quickens has the idea of not only making alive or keeping alive, but actually empowering. And over in Ephesians we read that this great power has raised Christ from the dead is to us who believe. This great power. And that is dynamite. A real power. And so he wants to be quickened. He says, according to thy word. It's been promised that he would quicken those who would recognize him, believe him. Even to giving them their own life here on the earth.